mercy came down. Mercy is those things that God takes out of our life that we deserve. And it is God who is, if you would, pursuing those things which are detrimental to our life and giving us mercy. What a blessing it is to know that that God gives us His mercy. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 24, and we'll use this as a springboard this morning. I'm preaching a topical message this morning on the family. Appreciate Brother Knickerbocker last week preaching on the family. And February is usually a time when we set aside at least a couple of Sundays to teach on the family, especially what the Bible has to say about the family. And so we want to encourage the families this morning who are gathered here. And I hope there'll be some things here to apply to everybody. But especially, again, we think about those who are raising kids and those who, raising kids. Amen. Joshua chapter 24, familiar passage. Look at verse 14. Now, the children of Israel had gone into the promised land. They had defeated those who were in the land, and then now they were occupying the land. And so Joshua gathers the nation, gathers the tribes of Israel together, and really begins to preach to them. He says this, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on this side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord." That's good stuff right there. Amen. We need to lay aside all those other things and serve the Lord. "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood are the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell." Those Amorites and all those ite people that they defeated. Are you going to serve the gods of before the flood? Are you going to serve the gods of the Amorites? And then he says this, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And I'm telling you, we're living in a day and age. And I know maybe every age has been this way, but more so today. I think that's a fact. We must choose to serve the Lord. We must choose to have our families a home that is conducive and for the Lord Jesus Christ, a home that is Christian. Psalm 78 says, this is a great passage. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law, and incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which ye have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that what? That they might set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments." And that's what we're doing. That's what we should be doing. Whether you're a parent this morning or a grandparent, you should be showing the next generation the praises of the Lord. You should be showing the next generation the works of God. You should be establishing the law, establishing the Word of God in their hearts to that next generation. This is an area in which I think we are failing as a whole, especially as a nation, but as a churches as a whole across the nation are not establishing the truths and the precepts of the Word of God with the next generation. We have a whole generation, really beginning after my generation, who the majority are not in church. Right. By the way, who the majority have left churches. So I want to encourage you parents and grandparents this morning that you make it your goal, that you make it something you strive for to pass on your faith to the next generation. The home is to be a place where God's love is modeled. Then kids are mentored and grandkids are mentored in the faith. I know I've said this many times and I've used this illustration, but My grandparents had as much impact on me as my parents did when it came to my faith. I am telling you right now. I went to my grandparents, the farm up in Duncan, Oklahoma. We were there probably as a whole, as a kid, probably 8 weeks out of the year. We were up there spending time with my grandparents. My pawpaw and my grandma, who were in heaven. My pawpaw passed away about 9 years ago now. It's amazing how time flies. And they had a direct impact on me. The first time I memorized Psalm 23 was at my grandparents' house. I can remember my pawpaw singing, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my..." We used to sing gospel songs at my grandparents' house. So I just want to encourage you this morning, whether you're parent or grandparent, that we model God's love, that we model the Christian faith in front of our kids and grandkids. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your love for us. And I pray this morning that the Word of God would challenge the hearts this morning of the believers present. We ask this in your name. Amen. I've already given the message. Let's go home. The challenge took place at the beginning. But let's fill in some blanks. Going to church and being a believer does not make a Christian home. Just because you came to church this morning, and just because you are a believer, does not necessarily make your home a Christian home. What makes a Christian home? Number one, parents must teach the doctrines of Christ to our children. It's a place in which doctrine is taught. Doctrine just simply means teachings. In other words, it's a place in which grandparents are teaching the Word of God to those who are in the home. By the way, it could still be you and your wife. I know my parents have devotions together, my mom and my dad. That is a part of having a Christian home and teaching the Word of God in the home. The mother or grandmothers must live up to and explain the Word of God. By the way, that's the most important job you have as a mother, as a dad, as a grandparent, is teaching that next generation. In other words, the most important thing you do is teach them how to be saved. A Christian home isn't a Christian home unless you are a believer. And a believer is one who has accepted Christ as their Savior. A believer is not one who is a member of the local Baptist church. A believer is not necessarily one who has been in the baptistry. A believer, somebody who's saved, is someone who has put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, and His resurrection as their only means of salvation. It's the point at which someone comes to the end of themselves and realizes that they are a sinner. By the way, the wages of sin is death, the Bible says. But the gift of God is eternal life. We are all sinners. We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. And therefore, because we are sinners, because we are selfish by nature, the Bible says we are under God's wrath. And the only way to escape God's wrath, the only way to escape hell and have a home in heaven, is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, believing that He lived, believing that He died, believing that He rose again on the third day. That's salvation, putting our faith and trust in Him. Not in church membership, not in baptism, not in being a good person, not in being better than our neighbor. It's placing our trust in Jesus Christ. To have a Christian home, one must be saved. And the first priority in a Christian home should be to teach the next generation how to be saved. Every parent's goal should be to teach that child from the time they are able to understand anything about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's nothing in our church to see a 5-year-old get saved, a 6-year-old get saved, a 7-year-old get saved, an 8-year-old get saved. That's awesome. That's what we're striving for. We're striving to see these children who grow up in our church and those who are growing up in a Christian home to get saved early in life, amen, that they might be able to live their life for Him rather than having to, you know, come back in the future and get their hearts and lives right rather than wasting their life. We want to see them saved up front. So a Christian home is one in which the parents are teaching the Word of God and passing on their faith that we have learned. That's found in 2 Timothy 1:5. Salvation is a personal choice, and our job is to point the way. And I want to make the point that we can't save our kids. Those who are working in children's church this morning, those who are working in the toddler church this morning, and those working in junior church, all those teachers and workers up there can't save anyone. It's a personal choice. Our job as parents, and your job as grandparents, is to point the way. By the way, that's what I do as a preacher. Amen. That's what you do as a Sunday school teacher. By the way, that's what you do as a Christian. Amen. The Lord saves. We merely point the way. We merely teach. It's the Lord who saves. The Holy Spirit that gives understanding. Our job is to get the information into their hands. So I want to encourage you, especially our teachers and workers this morning, and those who may have been witnessing to someone, and you say, well, I've been witnessing to this individual for 20 years, and maybe they're a very close relative. You say, I've not been able to get through to them. Well, it's not your job to get through to them. Your job is to merely give them the information. Your job is to sit down with them and show them the Bible. Hey, look, the Bible says you are a sinner. Do you believe you're a sinner? Look, the Bible says that Jesus Christ died for your sins. Right? The Bible says that there's a penalty for sin. The penalty of sin is death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Do you believe that? The Bible says that Jesus Christ came and died for your sins. And the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Do you believe that? And it's their choice whether to accept him or not. You're just simply to give the information. It's the Lord. I'm trying to lead my wife to the Lord.
Come on.
It is the Lord who gives her understanding. I merely give her the... And let me... I hope I'm making this... I want to make it simple. It's like teaching a kid math. You can give the stinking kid the formula. I'm in a good mood this morning. You can give the kid the formula. You can teach him or her how to come to the end result. But they have to get the understanding of how to do it. You can't... Well, I say you could... I guess as a parent, you can do the homework for them. But they have to... It has to click with them, right? They have to understand it. Listen, salvation, you can point and you can give the information, but it's the Holy Spirit that gives understanding. And that's why... That's encouraging to Christians, by the way, because it takes you off the hook. As a teacher, your job is merely to teach and be as precise and as clear as you can, yes. But the Holy Spirit gives understanding. And listen, parents and grandparents, with your kids and grandkids, give them the information. And maybe they're 7 or 8 and they haven't been saved yet and you're worried about that. Don't worry. You keep giving them the information. The Holy Spirit will do His job. The Lord will do His job. Don't be the Holy Spirit. There are some who would want to take a child or even an adult and as they are giving them the information, try to coax them or vacuum sales them into making a decision. It's not my job to coax them into making a decision. You say, well, preacher, there are people that do that? There are. I know some of them. In our church, we try to be very careful, especially with children. We want them to make a personal choice. Amen. Themselves. Not because the pastor said or daddy said or mama said. We tried to be careful, even me and my wife, with our own kids. I personally did not lead any of my children to the Lord. I'm not saying you can as a parent. You can. But even as a pastor, even goes even to a greater degree. Because my kids have been at every service. My kids have been at every master club. Or used to, we had Awanas. My kids have been at every children's church. My kids have been at every youth rally. My kids have been to all those things. And I don't want them ever to make a decision because daddy intimidated them or coaxed them or did anything to them. I'm belaboring the point because it's such an important point. Our job is to teach. Teachers and workers, master club workers that are in here, Sunday school teachers that work here, our job is to teach. Amen. Give the information out. And the Lord gives understanding. Well, let us be faithful in our homes to give the information out. Let us be faithful in church and in Sunday school and master's clubs and children's church to give the information out. But again, allow the Holy Spirit to do the convicting. In order to have a Christian home, one must be saved. Number two, one must surrender to the Holy Spirit. Surrender produces an attitude of praise. We're not going to turn to all of these scriptures, but turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. And this is an important passage on the family and marriage. Ephesians chapter 5 and look at verse 19. Look at verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual song, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto the Christ, let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it. I read those other parts real fast because I want you to see that verse 19. Look there with me again. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. The context of the verse is in the context of being filled with the Spirit. The context of the verse is also in the area of marriage and marriage relationship. Really talking about the marriage of Christ to his church, but practical application is to our marriages. So in the context, we see that surrendering to the Lord, surrendering to the Spirit of God, will give us an attitude of praise. Singing. Listen, a home should be full of good, godly music. Y'all knew I was headed there. Godly music. When a child comes home or a child gets in your car, there should be good, godly music going on. That they are influenced by that, praising Him and focusing on Him. Surrendering produces an attitude of praise. Walking in the flesh produces an attitude of criticism and anger rather than praise. I can't encourage you enough. You can't really, some of you do understand the influence of music. Keep control of your kids' music. What they're listening to on their iPod or their iPhone or their that other competitor people. You say, well, they're kids and they're going to listen, they're going to have their own music. Why? He who pays the bills makes the rules. My kids don't get to decide what music they listen to. I determine what music they listen to. You say, well, that's kind of mean. That's not. I'm the parent. They're the kid. That's another problem in our world today. Amen? You say, well, you're the pastor. You have to be that. I'm just following the Bible. I want my kids to be influenced by good, godly music. And so you should encourage, you should protect your children in the area of music. I will move on. Surrender produces an attitude of gratitude. Of chapter 5, verse 20, giving thanks always in things unto God, the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to teach our kids to express gratitude. We ought to teach our kids to say thank you. And by the way, we should be modeling it for them. I do not do this all the time, but I would say majority of the time when I ask my kids to do something, I say please. Josh is going, I don't know. I'm not saying I do it all the time, but a majority of the time I say please to my kids. When my kids do something for me, I generally say, I don't always, don't hold me to this every time, but most of the time I say thank you. By the way, I do the same thing with you guys. If I ask you to do something around the church, most of the time I will say please. And if you do something, I've had the opportunity to say thank you. Attitude of gratitude. Boy, this is something lost today, isn't it? Amen. The Bible says in the end times, the people will be unthankful. By the way, that thankfulness is taught. It's something that is taught because it doesn't come natural. So we should teach our kids to say thank you. I think we should teach our kids to say yes, ma'am, and yes, sir, and no, sir. And no. We still teach that in our home. Excuse me. All right, it's getting quiet. We should teach our kids to express appreciation. It would be good for a husband every once in a while to thank his wife. She might pass out, but might scare her. But it's good. It's a good thing to say thank you, please. Have gratitude in your heart. Teach our kids to do so. Thirdly, surrender produces an attitude of submission. that verse 21, look with me, verse 21 again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Everybody loves to talk about verse 23, 24, where it says wives submit themselves to their husband. Everybody forgets that the verse above it says, submit yourselves one to another as unto God. Listen, we ought to submit to each other. We ought to surrender. And by the way, when we surrender to the Holy Spirit, when we surrender to the Lord, it produces an attitude of submission. Submission to God, and to be the Christian He wants us to be. And to be the Christian He wants us to be means that we'll be submissive to each other. In other words, looking out for the needs of the other person. Submitting to the need of the other person. Wife, submitting to the needs of your husband. Husband, submitting to the needs of your wife. Dad and mom, submitting to the needs of your kids. Kids, submitting to the needs of their husband. Submitting one to another. Surrendering. To have a Christian home, one must be saved, and one must be surrendered to the Holy Spirit. Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm going to do it your way, not my way. And thirdly, there is security in the biblical order. Don't turn me off. There is a divinely appointed role to be fulfilled in the family. And God wants us to have a tender heart to be submissive to the Lord Jesus Christ rather than living out our own selves, however we'd like to do it. In other words, there is a biblical order in the home. By the way, God is the head of the home. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that is the order of the home. The third order, or the fourth order in the home, is the husband. Is the husband. The husbands are to be the leader, provide leadership in the home. Leader, not just in word, but in life. In other words, the husband can say he's the leader, but he better be living it out. We're not talking about domination in the home, but service. Jesus washed the disciples' feet. So be careful when we say that the husband's a leader in the home. It means that he can't just go around and say, bless the Lord, I'm the leader of this home. It's the way I... No, it's not what the Bible's talking about. A leader leads by example. Amen. Oh, man, it's quiet. It does mean, biblically speaking, that the final decision is with the husband, and the husband will be accountable to God for that decision. Let me clarify again. There is a biblical order in the home, and God has placed the husband as the leader of that home. And being a leader of the home does not mean he's king of the home. It means that he is the example in the home and he should be leading that home. That he should be leading that home. But that he is the one who has biblically the final say, but understanding that when he gets to heaven, the husband will also be the one who gives an account, not the wife. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying when we get to heaven, it's the husband that's going to give an account for that family, not the wife. It's the husband that's going to give an account for that home and how it was led and how it was run, not the wife. That's what the Bible says. Leader of the home, submitting. By the way, the husband should submit to the Lord. The husband, by the way, we need some husbands to step up and lead the home. Oh man, I'm going to go old school on you. We got some mamby-pamby sissy. I know, I just went old school. I shouldn't have done it, but I did. Lead your home. Sometimes we need some wives to get out of the way and let the husband do it. The husband is to be the provider of the home. That's what the Bible says. He should be the primary provider. He should be the protector of that home. And what? What's the third one? There's another P. He should be the priest of that home. He should be we grandfathers should be the spiritual leader of the home, not the wife. I thank the Lord that there are wives here without their husbands. Bless you. God's going to bless you for that. But the husbands who are here, the grandfathers who are here, step up, be the spiritual leader of your home. We don't look around the table at supper and say, I wonder if Dad's going to pray this time or not. No, Dad's going to pray. I'm not saying the kids aren't going to pray. I'm just saying the dad prays in front of the kids. Dad prays with his wife. By the way, just because he's a spiritual leader of the home doesn't mean he's more spiritual than his wife. Not, I didn't say that. Don't put in words in my mouth. I didn't say that. but it means he leads. Number two, wives are to support their husband's leadership. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your husband, own husbands as unto the Lord. You know what? Husbands are not perfect. Golly, that was slow. I know it's cloudy outside and everybody's tired. I'm up here sweating already. I'll get back on the women. So, there is a very much an attack on this verse today. This verse is not politically correct anymore. And it is misunderstood. As we've already described to you, verse 21 says we are to submit to each other. So we be careful about the way in which we interpret this verse. This verse is talking about order. The biblical order. Husband's the leader of the home. The wife is to submit to that leadership. The biblical order of the home. It's not talking about the wife is to cower to the husband. Anybody met my wife? I'm a little scared of my wife. That's not what we're saying. This verse has nothing to do with intellect. Husbands, we know our wives, many of them are much smarter than we are, right? Come on, guys. Amen? It's nothing to do with that. It has to do with biblical order. How the home is led and run. And the Bible has set that in order. By the way, if you do it the Bible way, your home will run much better. You do it the Bible way, God will bless that home. You do it the Bible way. Submitting to the husband. This is not sexist. It has everything to do with support. It's submitting, the Bible says here, submit as unto the Lord. The husband's not always going to be right, ladies. But you're not submitting only to him. The Bible says you're submitting to him as unto the Lord. Just as you submit to the Lord, you're submit to your husband. He does something stupid, he'll give an account for that. Husband's not always going to be right, but the wife should follow. Security, there is security in the biblical order. Husband's to be the leader. The wife is to be supportive of the husband's leadership, to submit to that leadership. And then thirdly, the children are to obey their parents. This is the biblical order. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the Father, the wife, and the children. That is the biblical order. Everywhere you find in the Bible, you find that same biblical order there. Everywhere you find it. We need to be submissive to that order. Kids that are in here, young people that are in here, your role in the family is to see that you obey. That is your role in the family. Children, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the right. Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. I think the True North class is studying the book on Shepherding a Child's Heart. It's a great book. I can recommend it to all of you. It's a great book by Truett. I think right now it's the best book on parenting. In that book, he makes it very clear that as kids, as young people, your job is to obey your parents. Parents, your job is to make your kids obey. Because if they don't obey, what does the Bible say? The Bible says, when they don't obey, then they will not have long life and they will not get a blessing. It's called the circle of blessing in the book, Shepherding a Child's Heart. Think of a circle up here. Everybody with me? Everybody on that side? I've used this illustration before. Think of the circle now. In order for a child to be blessed of God, they must be inside the circle. The circle of blessing is that a child honors and obeys their parents. The Bible says if they will honor and obey, they'll have long life and be blessed. That's the promise. But sometimes we give too much credit to the young person. We say, well, you need to obey. But see, if they get out of the circle, you're just as much at fault. I'm just as much at fault as a parent as they are as kids. Because I, as a parent, shouldn't allow them to get out of the circle of blessing. I should put up boundaries to keep them inside the circle that in order they might be blessed. Every study that's been done with young people and with kids has proven that children like, I know this sounds weird, boundaries. They like to know this is where the boundaries are. These are the things I cannot cross. We, as parents, need to be careful as well. But listen, young people and children that are in here, your job, your role in the family is to obey. They should follow us. They should follow us, their minds and their hearts. We should provide direction and order in their life. In other words, it's up to us to be that example for them and provide direction for them. Parents, it is your job to provide direction in how your kids dress. It is your job to provide, not Hollywood, not Vogue magazine or whatever, teen magazine the little girls are reading. That you're to be the example. You're to be the influence of how they dress. You ought to be the example, and you ought to help provide direction in the area of music, not their friends. You provide the example, and you provide direction to what video games they can and cannot play, and when they can play them. And there ought to be limits, amen? There ought to be times they can play them when they can't play. Or decide whether they can play them at all. You as a parent have that authority. We as a parent need to provide direction to teach respect to our kids, respect of others, other people's stuff. Teaching our kids to be thankful and saying yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. And by the way, I want to encourage our adults that are in this room. There are some of you who still do it every once in a while. I hear adults say, well, one of my boys will say yes, sir, to him and say, boy, you don't have to say yes, sir, to me. Quit doing that. Amen. My boy says yes, sir, to you. You woohoo, all right. You say, well, that makes me feel old. Good. We want to teach our kids, yes, sir, no, sir. We want to teach our kids respect. We want to teach our kids morality. We want to teach our kids honesty. It's important when you're at the store and that person doesn't charge you enough. And you come out in the car and you check your receipt and you say, oh, they didn't charge me enough. And your kids are sitting in the back seat. What are you going to do? You go back in the store and you get them to charge you the right amount. Because your kids are watching you. They're watching every move you make. So it's not just telling them what's right and what's wrong. It's modeling it. Saying, this is how we act. This is how we say. That's why sometimes as a dad, we can be domineering sometimes with our kids. And we can say, go do this and go do that and da da da. And we like statements like, when they say, well, why? We say, well, because I said so. I said so. That's what it is. Because I said so. I'm the dad. I'm the big man. Rules without reasons and relationship produces rebellion. Listen to that again. Rules. I used to say rules without reason produces rebellion. But it's really rules without reason and relationship that produces rebellion. Because you can reason with your kids all day long. If you don't have a relationship with them, it's still not going to work. And that's where the time factor comes in, and spending time with your kids, developing a relationship. Each one of my children have a different relationship with me. The middle child always feels like he's left out. But I always remind him I'm the middle child, and I was left out of everything. And I turned out all right, I guess. I don't know. I got a screw loose somewhere. But it is our job to train up a child in which they will go. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. Training takes effort. Some parents don't want to put the effort in. Training takes time, and some parents don't want to take the time. They're too involved and too caught up in their work and friends and occupation, all those things. Boy, we got to be careful. Love for a kid is spelled T-I-M-E. Remember that. Remember that. Teach respect, morality, honesty. Teach humility to our kids. Show them. As you show them your heart, they develop a heart. Teaching them, showing them, both. Lastly, how to have a truly Christian home is sanctity through godly living. And that is that God's word will bring about in our homes godly living. Living that is moral, clean, holy, and pure. As we meditate upon the Word of God, as we read the Bible ourselves in our personal life, and as we read the Bible to our children, which we should be doing, and every once in a while in our home, I have to back up and go at it again when it comes to family devotions. when it comes to reading the Bible with my kids and praying with them. We have to back up again. Sometimes we get in the habit of eating supper in front of the television instead of eating supper around the table. We have to back up again. It's one of those things you constantly have to battle and constantly have to work at because we're so busy. We must model and teach our kids the Word of God. As we teach the Word of God, it should and it will influence them in the area of holiness and purity and cleanness. This is such a battle in today's age. I can't encourage you enough as a parent to put filters on your kids' phones. We do on ours. Hello? Oh, I trust little Johnny. I don't. I don't trust myself. I have a filter on my phone. Amen. We have free TV now, but when we had DirecTV or whatever it was, Dish Network, my wife, the very first time we got it, put in a code where me or the kids could not watch anything. That was immoral. I want to encourage you parents, you should have those fixes on your TVs and on your computers. And whether you get some of these programs where you can monitor what they read. I know on the iPhone, if you'll put the restrictions on there, they can't erase their history. That's the key. Making sure that you can't erase the history of where they've been on the internet and where they've been, what they've saw. You need to put those things in place. Amen. Oh, but you don't know the conflict it'll cause my home. You're the parent. You say, I don't know about that. They went and locked themselves in a room and da 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 da. Said, you know what? I tell my kids all the time. That door costs $35. It's a hollow core, simple door from Home Depot. Maybe they're $45 now, but at the time I put it in for $35. It can come out very easily. And those hollow core doors are about that. They're paper thin. I can put my fist through it, no problem. If you want to lock yourself in a room. Got our counselor down here trying to tell me how to preach. Let me clarify, since we're on the internet. It's the effect of the sickness still on me. There's no way a door is staying on any room.
Amen.
When my kid's on the other side, and I'm the parent, it's just not going to stay on the hinges.
Amen.
I said, preacher, goodness, I'm just telling you, I paid for the door. I paid for the room. It's my house. It ain't theirs. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Daddy, Mama, kids. It's not God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, Daddy, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, kids, Mama, and Daddy. The world's got it sideways. Teenagers, I'm not saying it just to be mean. I'm saying if you do it the Bible way, God will bless you and give you a long life. That's what He's promised, and He said He will bless you with that. Parent, if you put your kids in the circle of blessing, then they will be blessed and have a long life. Why wouldn't we want that? By the way, we believe God's promises in everything else. Why wouldn't we believe God's promises when it comes to our kids? Put the boundaries on them. Certainly we don't beat kids. We don't inflict kids. We don't lock kids up. We don't chain kids. There's ways to do things right, biblically.
Amen.
Amen. Say, preacher, have your kids ever locked themselves in a room? No, they haven't, ever.
Amen.
And I think it's because we, from the very beginning, decided we're going to have a Christian home. We're going to set these boundaries. We're going to spend time with our kids and play baseball with them, football, drag them around to everything in the world, take them on visitation with me, spend time with them, love them, have a relationship with them, give them the reasons why we do it. And you know what? Biblically, It turned out pretty good. Not perfect. Preacher's kids aren't perfect. Two of them are in here, so I've got to be careful. And I certainly don't want you to hold them to a different standard than you hold your own kids to. But if we are to have a Christian home, there must be and there should be moral purity in the home. That means there's certain TV things we don't watch. There's certain books we don't read. There's certain magazines that are not in our homes because we have a Christian home. There's certain friends. There's certain boys we won't let our daughters date. And there's certain ladies we won't let our boys date. Amen? We're picky. We put the boundaries around them. I've been with my kids. At the age of 13 or 14, I've given my boys, I call it the purity knife. You know, the purity ring was so popular for years. I think it's still a great idea with teenage daughters when they're about 13 or 14. If you dads would set them down and give them a ring and just talk to them, give them the bird and the bees. By the way, don't just leave that for the mother to do. The mother should be a part of that, absolutely. But teaching your daughter about the birds and the bees and having them commit to God and to you to be pure, to stay pure. With my kid, my boys, I gave them a knife, a real nice Kershaw, expensive knife, something they could be proud of. And I gave that to them, sat down with them, and gave them the birds and the bees story. I'm very blunt with them, too. It's not the public school's job to teach my kids about sex. My job. I'm going to do it, right? It's not the job of another 8th grade kid in his class to teach him about the birds and the bees. My job. Amen? Amen? So we gave him a little knife and said, hey, just want you to pray with me. Pray to God. Commit to God to stay pure until you get married. Amen. These are things we teach our kids. We encourage our kids. Grandparents, as I said, my grandparents has as much influence on me in these areas as my parents. You can have an influence on these kids to stay pure and clean and holy. All the things I've spoken about this morning and go against society and what's politically correct, but it's what biblically is correct. See, if you do it the way Spock or some psychiatrist tells you to do it, you're not guaranteed God's blessings. But if you do it the way the Bible says, you're guaranteed God's blessings. I think I'll stand here. I'll stand on the Word of God. I'll raise my children the Bible way, knowing that God will bless my kids and He'll bless me. Grandparents, we need to be guardians for our kids and grandkids. We need to be a shelter and a protector. A place they can come home from school and a place they can feel safe in, whether it's safe from bullies or safe from immorality. There should be a place they can come and feel safe and have that safety. And the only way we're going to be able to do that is with the Lord's help. Parents, we should come down the altar and say, Lord, help me. Help me to have the Christian home that you intend for me to have. Lord, help me to be the dad that I ought to be. Help me to be the mother I ought to be. Lord, help me to be the godly influence as a grandparent that I can be upon my grandkids. Lord, help me. The difference, truly, in having a genuine Christian home is the power of God upon the home. Lord, I don't have all the answers. I don't. But the Lord does. We come to Him for guidance in the area of our family. Let us be encouraged this morning to do it the Bible way in order to receive the Bible blessings. If you're here this morning and you've not accepted Christ as your Savior, to have a Christian home, first off, you've got to know the Savior. You've got to have a personal relationship with Him. I hope this morning that you do. And if you don't, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'll give you an opportunity. We're going to sing in just a few minutes. I want to encourage you to come down this altar, and one of our workers here will show you how you can be saved, how you can have everlasting life, how you can have a home in heaven, how you can have your sins forgiven. This is the greatest decision you ever make. By the way, that decision will impact your home in a greater way than anything else you'll ever do. I'm thankful for the home God's given me. I'm thankful for the wife that God has given me, who puts up with me, loves me. I'm thankful for my kids, as now I have a 20-year-old and a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old. I'm proud of the way they have turned out so far. God has done that, not me.
Amen.
I'm thankful. Let's all stand. Hymn 167, Just As I Am. The Lord spoke into your heart this morning. You come. Maybe you would come down and pray as a father, as a dad. Come down and pray as a mother for your kids. Or teenager, maybe this morning you're not obeying your parents. Maybe you're out of the circle of blessing. If you're not obeying your mom or your dad, then you are not in the circle of blessing with the Heavenly Father. You need to come down and get that right this morning. Come down and ask the Lord's forgiveness. And maybe you need to go to your parents and ask for forgiveness. Say, Dad and Mom, I haven't been obeying you as I should. Whatever your need is, you come after we pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your love. And God, we thank you for your mercy. And God, your kindness towards us. We thank you that you've given us a biblical pattern that we are to use to raise our families and have a home that you intended for us to have. Lord, I pray that we surrender and submit to that pattern. To help us to surrender and submit to our biblical roles. Lord, we pray for your power upon our church family. We pray for power upon our families individually. God, lead us, direct us, and guide us. We'll thank you for what you'll do in Jesus' name.